The following is an exclusive sports presentation of Extra Sports 1300.
Next, I'd like to introduce...
Throw your hands in the air if you's a true player.
Southern Colorado, it's time for your live and local sports talk show.
That boy is good.
Good and terrible.
Drive Time Sports, presented by Tilted Kilt Pub and Eatery. Your sports action hub with over 54 TVs so you don't miss out on the action. Located at Woodman and I-25. The only place to hear talk about your teams.
I think you two dudes are going to become real homies.
Where do we find these guys?
Oh man, I hate those guys.
Here are your hosts, Ryan Kaufman and Chris Braden, with the godfather of Colorado Spring Sports Radio, Wheels.
Good Friday to you. Welcome to the show. Ryan broadcasting the show live today out at the beautiful Country Club of Colorado. This will be the site for the 14th annual Going for the Green Golf Classic, and that benefits the some programs from the Better Business Bureau of Southern Colorado and also Air Academy Federal Credit Union. Chris and I will actually be golfing in that on Monday, and you can join us if you'd like more information. Log on to extrasports1300.com. So suffice to say, I have probably the most gorgeous view of any radio host in America right now, and the rain is holding off, and it's just a great day. So if you're a member here at the Country Club of Colorado, maybe you might want to think about getting in nine holes here this afternoon. So much to cover on today's show. Of course, we got to talk about the Broncos preseason opener last night. I'll get to my thoughts about the quarterbacks in particular here in just a moment. Also, Ezekiel Elliott suspended 6 games by the NFL for domestic violence allegations. We'll get into the impact of that, not just for the Cowboys, your fantasy team, and Ezekiel Elliott, but also the fact that the Broncos play them week 2, and that leads us into our poll question today. After seeing what you saw last night and finding out today that Ezekiel Elliott will miss the week 2 matchup at Mile High, who you got? It's basically you probably don't feel too good about either team right now, but we want to see where your head is at after the Broncos preseason opener last night. You can vote by logging on to our Twitter account at extrasports1300. We'll take your thoughts long form style on the text line at 286-0046. Also, on the show today, our 25 teams in 25 days series continues with the Lewis Palmer Rangers. Dustin Tupper, their head coach, will join me at the bottom of the hour. A big turnaround the last few years up there in Monument, and excited to hear what Coach Tupper has in store for 2017. Hour number two, I'll be joined by Grant Meech of KOAA Channel 5. He'll discuss the Broncos game, of course. And then in hour number three, I will be joined by Anthony Murray. He is part of the Nitro Circus gang. They are coming to Security Service Field in just a few days to do what they do, which is absolutely insane. So we'll talk to him coming up in hour number three and get you the lowdown on Nitro Circus. Was hoping to have a special guest, have not heard anything as of yet, so we will proceed with some discussion about last night's game. Two quarterbacks came into last night with the highest of expectations, or at least just expectations. And the guy who stole the show was an undrafted rookie out of Northern Colorado. Yes, our Northern Colorado Greeley, Kyle Sloter, stole the show. He was the only quarterback to throw a touchdown last night for the Denver Broncos. And Wheels, if you don't mind, I got Vance Joseph's thoughts there on the hotkeys about should Kyle Sloter be included in the quarterback competition?
As a starter for us? No. No. No, we've got those. We got Trevor and we got Paxton that we've been satisfied with, they're both playing good football. You know, outside of the penalties tonight, I was impressed with both guys. So, no.
So there you go, Vance Joseph speaking last night when asked if Kyle Sloter is now making this a three-way competition for the starting quarterback job, almost as emphatic. He was asked whether Trevor Siemian getting the start in preseason game number one meant that he would be had a leg up in the competition. Wheels and I were discussing this last night a little bit via text. Why is Kyle Sloter even playing? Like, obviously we didn't believe that he would go out and do what he did last night, but just the idea that you have two quarterbacks who most people believe are subpar, and they're competing, and you're going to give them each 14 plays. Meanwhile, the best quarterback of the night is Mitchell Trubisky, a guy that we all made fun of on draft night and made fun of the Bears for picking him and trading up to get him. And look how many reps he got. He played like the entire second half and threw the ball 22 times. Combined, Trevor Siemian and Paxton Lynch threw the ball, I think, 16. That's combined. So why is Kyle Sloter even out there if you're trying to decide on the quarterback for this season? A quarterback that is going to hopefully guide you back into the playoffs. A quarterback that is going to help you not waste another season of this amazing, historically good defense. And you're going to limit them to 14 plays each to throw the ball six or seven times each? That doesn't make any sense to me. And furthermore, you can tell last night, Paxton Lynch, there is no way he's going to win this job. And it's not because Trevor Siemian blew him out of the water or that Paxton Lynch played particularly bad. What has Vance Joseph's metric been? Decision-making. I saw some bad throws. I didn't see poor decision-making necessarily from Paxton Lynch. So that being said, Paxton Lynch is so scared not to make a mistake, and you could see it last night. He airmails two passes, one to Benny Fowler, I believe the other was to A.J. Derby, and it's not because he's overly enthusiastic or he's just got that strong of an arm. It's because he's so worried about getting picked off that he fires it harder than he needs to, and you see the result. Paxton Lynch and Mitchell Trubisky should not be treated different. They really shouldn't. And honestly, you could probably say the same about Trevor Siemian, but last night Trevor Siemian was in his element. Quick outs, not doing too much. Vance Joseph after the game called him solid once again. That's right. Valid, sound, reasonable, logical, plausible, credible. That's Trevor Siemian. He was in his element. He doesn't need an entire half of football to show you what he is. Paxton Lynch does. He's got immense talent, and he's not being allowed to showcase it through his own mind. He can't take chances downfield because he's worried that he's going to get picked off and that's going to be a wrap. Well, in actuality, he's losing the job last night even more because he wouldn't take chances and because he didn't showcase why he is a first-round pick. So I saw all I needed to see. If this is going to be the quarterback competition, I don't need to see any more. That's a wrap for me. You could call it. You could put Trevor Siemian as the starter because Paxton Lynch is not going to do any better against San Francisco if he is confined to 14 plays or three drives. I think he got four drives. So it's, I mean, I just, if you want to call the quarterback battle now, you can. And I think that Vance Joseph, to a certain extent, is doing, they're so worried at Dove Valley to not make it seem like they are favoring one guy over the other. So much so that they're not being flexible and understanding what each quarterback needs. As I said, Trevor Siemian, in that shows you exactly who he is. Not spectacular, but going to make good decisions, going to make quick passes, accurate passes. He's not going to go deep. That's who he is. But Paxton Lynch, I think of the Mark Wahlberg line in The Other Guys. He's a peacock. You got to let him fly. You got to let him go out and make mistakes, air it out, and maybe make a mistake, but then he'll come back and he'll make a spectacular play. And the Broncos didn't let him do that last night. So extremely disappointing last night, I thought, showing all around, really, for the quarterbacks of the Denver Broncos.
Why?
We're on Kyrie Watch. Will the Nuggets land the Cavs star?
Yeah, right.
But is that any harder to believe than him believing the Earth is flat?
He may have taken some different courses than I did.
Get the latest on Extra Sports 1300.
Drive Time Sports here on Extra Sports 1300. Ryan Kaufman with you at the Country Club of Colorado. After being nice enough to let the Broncos have yesterday all to themselves, the Rockies open up a three-game series in Miami. And how about this for the probable pitchers? Gray, Hoffman, and Marquez, a pretty good lineup there. Joining me now is someone we expect to see protecting a lead late all weekend long. One of the newest members of the Rockies, Pat Neshek, joins me now. Pat, how's South Beach?
Hey, yeah, we knocked it yesterday, and we're ready to go tonight, so everything's going good.
Good. Being traded mid-season is kind of a new phenomenon for you. How well have you felt like you've adjusted?
It's taken a little bit. You know, I had to move my family out of Philadelphia and get them here, and it was a lot of stuff. But I'm settling in pretty good right now, and everything feels pretty good.
So your family's already come out to Colorado?
Yeah, they're out there right now. They're out there right now, and they're doing well, and we're coming home in a couple of days, so that'll be nice.
Something that's not new for you, Pat, is being in a playoff chase. You've done this a few times in your career, but as you look around your dressing room, there aren't a lot of guys that share that kind of experience. Have you found that you are taking kind of a leadership role when it comes to competing in late August and into September?
For me, I'm just going on getting out. There's a lot of young guys in here, but I mean, they're really good guys, and it's guys that, if you look down the road in 5 years, I think they're going to have lots of playoff experience themselves. So, it's going to be fun this next month and a half. We got a nice lead in the wild card here. We're hoping to pick up some games in the next couple of weeks here, and just go out every night and compete. But it's a fun team. I mean, it's nice to go from a team like the Phillies and pick up 30 games in the win column overnight. So that was nice for me. Like you said, I've done this in the past. I mean, I could kind of tell what teams are, if a team's kind of down and out, and that's not the case here. We're ready to play, and it's a good team.
Pat Neshek, Rockies reliever, joining me here on Drive Time Sports. Some people are just getting to know you here in Colorado, and they're looking at the arm slot, the delivery. Tell my listeners where that comes from. When did you start to throw sidearm like that?
Yeah, it's a little different. I started in my first year of college. It's kind of out of an injury, but it definitely, it's hard for a lot of the guys, the hitters to pick up, especially right-handed guys. So that's kind of been the reason why I've been in the big leagues for a few years. And, I've done well with, throwing 90 to 92, so.
Yeah, I've carved out a nice niche there. And from what I hear, you're quite the autograph hound. What's the piece de la resistance? What's your most prized autograph that you have?
I got a lot of stuff. I don't know. I can't really think of one favorite. I've been working on stuff for many years. I have a nice 1970 Topps set that's graded really high. It's the best in the country. And then I like to get top sets from current guys, completely signed, every guy in the set. So that's kind of what I'm working on right now. And it's a challenge. Some guys will be in AAA, some guys get released and go home, other guys retire and you can't find them. So that's kind of how I like to have fun during the season, try to track a lot of these guys down.
I'm a fairly big collector, like you are, of autographs and cards and all that. I'm not one of those guys, though, that kind of goes above and beyond. My brother, on the other hand, I remember one charity golf tournament, he tracked Gary Carter into a portalette to get his autograph. I imagine for you, it's a little bit easier to get guys to sign for you.
It is. I mean, it's pretty easy for any other ball player. You could send stuff over with the clubhouse guys, and they'll get them all signed up for you for the most part. But yeah, I mean, in the off season, sometimes I'll send out letters to a lot of the real old guys that, you know, when I grew up, and they're at their houses, I'll send letters out and get stuff signed too that way. But yeah, it's not as hard as it used to be though. That's for sure.
So these player weekend unis come out, and I see Chuck Nasty, I see Sheriff, I see Ninja, and wearing number 37, Nishek. At least Jake McGee went with Jake. Yeah. Like you didn't have any nickname you could put on there.
Yeah, it would be nice. I mean, when they told, you know, I didn't really have time, that I got traded, so I kind of missed that boat. I've asked baseball if I could get one, and they said there's not enough time, so I'm kind of just screwed here. But yeah, I tried. I mean, I would have went with Journeyman, but obviously they don't want to make an exception for a guy that got traded, so I get to get stuck with my last name.
Just write it on a piece of tape and slap it back there. I'm sure Major League Baseball won't mind if you do that. This Miami series, I'm looking at the splits, and you own Giancarlo Stanton, 0-for-2 with a strikeout in his career. So how do you attack him? How do you get him out when so many other guys can't?
He's tough, you know. I mean, I think he's really hot right now too. We played him a few times this year with the Phillies, and I played with him in the World Baseball Classic. He's good. I mean, you just don't want to miss in his hot zone. So I pitch to where he's kind of, you know, his weak spots. But I mean, if he's feeling it, he's going to be. So I mean, it's just making your pitches. I like to throw him sliders and sometimes get him with the up fastballs. He's doing really good right now. I mean, he's going to be a tough out this whole series.
Well, it's going to be a fun series, and after these three games at Marlins Park, it's back to Coors Field for 7 straight. Atlanta, Milwaukee, among those teams coming to town. Get your tickets at Rockies.com. Follow Pat on Twitter, at Pat Nishek. Pat, next time, all memorabilia talk with you, but for now, we really appreciate it, and go get them this weekend.
Awesome. Thank you.
You bet. There's Pat Nishek, Rockies reliever, joining us here on Drive Time Sports.
If you're not spending every waking moment checking us out online, you'd better have a good excuse.
Yeah.
We've loaded up our website with stories, videos, interviews, and contests. Hit it now. ExtraSports1300.com.
Drive Time Sports coming your way live from the Country Club of Colorado, and a lot to unpack from last night's game. I got to say, overall, just excited that football is back. I always say I don't miss it that much, and then when it comes back, I'm like, yay. Joining us now to chat a little bit about what we saw last night is the incomparable Grant Meech of Channel 5 KOAA joining us, even though he's feeling a little under the weather. What's going on, Grant?
I don't know. I think probably being out in that torrential downpour with the European cyclist yesterday probably didn't do me any favors.
Yeah, that's what you get for doing your job.
Well, yeah, unfortunately, we call that a work hazard, I think, something like that. So we'll have to soldier on because the news doesn't stop.
Yeah, I know why you power through it today, because you want to be out in front of the Kyle Sloter train, right?
Who doesn't want to be out in front of a third string QB who's not going to make the team trade? Man, he looked good, didn't he? If nothing else, it was nice to see a Bronco quarterback get into the end zone or get the team into the end zone. I think, you know, it's not like they pulled this guy off of the street. You know, he played at UNC. He was talented player there. He certainly wasn't as talented as some of the other Division II quarterbacks we've had in this state, but lest we forget that UNC is now Division I, or FCS, excuse me, for the FBS, FCS honks out there. But, you know, they didn't pull this guy off the street. You know, he's a talented quarterback. He's been playing all his life. He's playing in college, so and he's been playing in camp. So I don't think it's all that odd to see what he did. Yeah, there was a blown coverage play, but he executed it. You know, he could have overthrown it. He could have underthrown it. But he didn't. So good for him. I think it's not surprising that Vance said, nope, we're not going to put him in the starting rotation. But, I mean, man, Paxton was athletic, inconsistent, but didn't get any help. Trevor was solid, boring, and also didn't start a spark out there. And then you have Kyle Sloter, who is young, unproven, but did the most of all three of them. So it'll be quite the controversy as we get up into week two and see what they do when they get out of San Francisco this week.
I understand trying to be fair and holding a real quarterback competition where both guys are thrown into the same situation. But I look just across the field. Mitchell Trubisky gets the entire second half. He gets to throw the ball 22 times. And I was watching it, and I said, that's what Paxton Lynch should be doing. I get that you want to be fair, but we all understand that Paxton needs more time. So why even play Kyle Sloter? Why not give Paxton Lynch the entire second half?
I think you're going to see that in San Francisco, where Paxton may get the entire first half, if not the whole first three quarters. And I think that would actually be the smart move for the Broncos' part to just give him that entire time. To answer your question, I agree with you. As fun as it was to say Kyle Sloter from UNC, he didn't need to be out there. Trevor needed to play his quarter and a half and then move on. And then they should have let Pax the entire game. The thing is we know what we have with Trevor. We know what we have with Trevor. Trevor is a bologna sandwich. You know exactly what you're getting. It's a bologna sandwich on white bread. A little mayo. No hot sauce. Just straight up bologna white bread. Paxton is a different recipe, and we got to work on that. And the Broncos are not, I don't think they're giving him enough time to season. But then at the same time, he's not really seasoning when he's in camp, so they're not going to give him a whole lot of reps when he's out in the game. So if he keeps going down the tubes, or if they keep not giving him reps, who's to say that we don't see a Paxton Lynch trade coming up soon?
Well, we had the
let that one sit on you for a while.
Well, we had the AJ McCarron stuff the other day, and there's a report today saying that somebody reached out to the Bengals and offered whatever a lot means, but they offered a lot for A.J. McCarron. Do you believe that if Trevor Siemian starts against the Chargers that it's time to see if somebody will take Paxton Lynch and get a little bit of value out of him?
I think it's worth negotiation because, yeah, he's unproven, but he maybe just needs a new place to land. And I think the other thing is that we are just, you know, maybe Paxton Lynch wasn't a first-round pick. Maybe he wasn't a first-round grade, and yet somehow he convinced John Elway and the pundits to take him. You know, I think if he was a third-rounder, I don't think we'd be as enamored with it right now. But he's a first-round pick. He's a first-round grade, especially, so they're going to give him his due. And the thing is they traded. They traded up for him. They spent a lot on him, so they're going to make sure they fully evaluate him before they let him go. If they do let him go, because the other thing is you got to think about Chad Kelly in the wings. And I know I can hear it right now. Everybody's going whoa 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 whoa. But here's a second. But again, he didn't get drafted for nothing. I don't care what everyone says. Oh, Elway just did that to help Jim Kelly. He did it to help Jim Kelly by drafting him, but also, it puts Chad Kelly in a good landing spot, and the Broncos could have a good one with Chad Kelly. He's a first-round grade with a sixth or seventh round off-the-field decision-making. First 2 years of Von Miller, that sounded like him, did it not? So maybe Chad Kelly's the answer in a couple years. I think a lot of people are saying that he's going to be the starter in 2018 anyway, 2019 even. If you didn't have a bum left wrist, it would certainly be in a more interesting quarterback camp, wouldn't it?
It would be even more crowded, that's for sure. Grant Meech joining us here on Drive Time Sports. So you're bumming everybody out. What did you like about last night other than Kyle Sloter?
I liked that the offensive line had an aggression to it. You know, it doesn't help to say that and then realize, you know, Trevor got sacked right on the first play, I believe. But they had an aggression to them. They had an edge, and I think the thing is like, listen, those guys, other than Matt Paradis, none of those guys have been there through the trials and tribulations when Peyton was getting pummeled and Brock was getting run out of pocket, and last year when Trevor got his collarbone broken. But, you know, but they know that the Bronco offensive line has been the butt of jokes for years and seasons, and they're tired of it, so they're going to go out and try and change it. The other nice thing to see was that the defense has not slowed down a bit. Mike Glennon looks terrible, and D'Angelo Henderson could be the best draft pick that we got in this year's class.
Yeah, that was one thing we were talking about yesterday leading into the game is I would like to see D'Angelo Henderson go from a training camp darling to kind of a preseason darling. And I think him and Garrett Bowles were the two guys that met expectations that were placed kind of high.
I don't think anybody was going to put D'Angelo Henderson. I mean, he'll definitely be a training camp darling, but at the same time, I think people they're pretty high on him. I think they really liked what they had with D'Angelo Henderson. So I think you're right. He's actually performing to the standards that they put forth, or that they wanted him to put forth, which is great. It's absolutely wonderful. It's just a matter of filling in the blanks after that, and can he do it against the first team defense instead of the second and third team defense? And that'll be the next line they go with, and it'll be interesting to see what they do.
We can call a time of death on the Cowboys season, right, as of a couple hours ago, Zeke out for 6 games.
I would say at least it's gonna be a slow tread the first couple. Gives the Broncos a boost at least. I mean, I think that running game with the Broncos defense is gonna be somewhat neutralized. But man, it's interesting to look and listen and read the news online, and everybody pointing out that you have Josh Brown, former Giants kicker, who admitted to, you know, hitting his wife several times, and he got 1 game suspension. Ray Rice got 4 games, and there's videotape of it, but yet there's no conclusive evidence for Ezekiel Elliott, and yet he got 6 games. He got the worst punishment of them all. So I find it a bit troubling and interesting that they're going down this route, but you know, Roger Goodell has decided he's going to be the discipline. He's going to be the judge, jury, and executioner. And right now, it just seems like his punishments are not fitting the crime.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's like I guess there is a little bit of a not lack of evidence, but just not hard evidence like Josh Brown and the other guys you mentioned. But I have very little sympathy. You know, Ezekiel Elliott put his hands on a woman to some degree or another, and it's like, I feel bad if you're a Cowboys fan, but I don't necessarily. If Roger Goodell is going to use this nebulous authority that he has and he can do whatever he wants, I would much rather he over-suspend a guy accused of domestic violence than somebody like busted for weed.
Right, but again, if we're going back to the Ezekiel case, when he, you know, again, if allegedly he put his hands on some woman in some capacity, what determines abuse? What determines violence? What determines a strike? Did he slap her? Did he push her? Did he just touch her? Or did he just hug her aggressively? We don't know. I mean, I haven't looked at the case. Have you? And that's the thing, is like the Broncos, or not Broncos, the NFL has, you know, decided that he did something worthy of 6-game suspension, but the prosecution in the case said that he didn't, without as much adequate evidence. So I just think it sets a bad precedent for the NFL when the NFL is handing down their own punishments that are seemingly that don't align with the punishments of our judicial system.
So are we going to see you on TV tonight?
Yeah, I'll be there. Probably a little sunburned. Yesterday we got sunny. I got sunburned. and then it poured on us, and then it hailed on us, and then my feet got wet, and then I had a Jimmy John's, and that was kind of it. But it was yesterday was a rough day. I mean, it was an interesting event. It was an interesting event to cover because I've never covered a bike race like that before, and I fully admit I don't know anything about cycling, so I didn't realize the caliber of the event in the lead-up to it. But I think the organizers will probably reschedule this thing for sometime in June, because having this in early August when it's very rainy here and you're starting to butt up against football season, it doesn't give it the same kind of attention or juice, and I think that was poor planning on their part. Now, I don't know what went into it. I don't know about parking downtown and proper advertising and whatever schedule that they were trying to line up with to get the best international and national field to come in, but I think an early August date for that is a poor decision and sounds like they need to do a better job of marketing it, because every story we did here was just people had no clue what was even going on. They were mad and angry, and their parking was messed up, and their drive home was messed up, and their drive to work was messed up, and a lot of people had no clue what was even going on. So it was an interesting, fun event, you know, fun at times. I think they just really should check that schedule again and make sure we don't have this thing in early August when we're getting poured on.
As you know, there's a lot of sports entities that come in and out of this city that need to take a little tip on marketing 101 when it comes to spreading the word, but that's a conversation for another day and not while we're trying to entertain people, because it's incredibly
right.
boring.
Right.
Grant,
right.
Thanks so much for the time. Get healthy, and we'll talk soon.
Buddy, see you.
Channel 5.
Counting down to kickoff of the high school football season, this is 25 Teams in 25 Days on Drive Time Sports.
That's right. Ryan Kaufman back with you here on Extra Sports 1300. Our 25 Teams in 25 Days series continues with the Lewis Palmer Rangers when head coach Dustin Tupper took over the program in 2014. Get this. The Rangers won 4 games. That's it. Just 3 years later, they won 10 and made it to the state quarterfinals. To find out what's in store for 2017, we are joined by the fourth-year head coach of the Rangers, Dustin Tupper. Coach, glad to have you on. How are you today?
I'm well. Just enjoying this Colorado weather.
Ain't that the truth? So, what I mentioned the turnaround in a relatively short time. You still have a lot of the same kids, and yet you're able to turn a 3-win team into a 10-win team. So what do you attribute to the turnaround?
One of the things that happened when I took over the program, it was not in need of imploding. Coach Romano was an incredible head coach, but the change happened so late with Coach dealing with health issues that we didn't get that word until the end of July. And I think just the shock of that happening and the lateness of that happening really kind of shocked our team. We lost Coach Romano, you know, during that season, and really that was really, really difficult. So I think we ended up winning 4 or 5 games that season and ended up, you know, really with a good team that I felt was sitting at home. But I think that turnover right there so unexpectedly and really sadly really affected our team.
But at the same time, while that may be true, I know that you, in talking with people at Lewis Palmer, you have a lot to do with the direction that this program has taken. When you think about your philosophy or the values that you want to instill in your players that apparently they've really bought into because the results have shown, what are those? Could you enlighten us a little bit about the things that you like your players to have or to be like?
Absolutely. When we have on the back of our shirt every year is the word team. It's an acronym, and it's toughness, effort, attitude, and motivation. So it all starts there. So we really pump our kids no matter what they're doing, no matter what it is. If they have those 4 things, we drop you in the middle of nowhere. If you have those 4 things, that you're going to be successful. So we build our team with those 4 things in mind within the weight room, the weights program, camp, how we practice, how we play. Just everything that I try to instill in our guys is really, really blue collar. And, you know, we always break down, you know, above all else, be physical. And I think that that's kind of me, my personality, is that we're going to be physical first, and then we'll let the rest of it lay. And I think if you're physical and you play really good sound fundamentals, you're tough and you give a lot of effort, you have a great attitude, and you're a motivated individual, man, our team should take care of itself. And so that's the number one. Nobody's above the team. We're going to take those four traits and take them home, and we're going to try to out-physical you. We love to try to out-physical and break you.
You know, you look back to last year, and if you get run out of the postseason, if you go into the first round and you get beat by 50 points, there's a little bit of, oh, well, you know, it happens, and maybe a little bit easier to take. When you're 1 point away, and I got to imagine that you and your team replayed every second of that game against Silver Creek, just trying to think of if this would have gone differently. But at the same time, that makes the team hungrier, no?
Absolutely. When we replay that, I mean, there's a handful of plays in there that we make differently. They were inside the red zone three times. We turned them over. There was a 3rd and 27 that they converted from the minus side of the field. That they converted for a touchdown. We had our hands on it, and their kid made an amazing play. And we were right in that game, and, oh, God bless our kicker. He was such a stud. Outside linebacker, he played guard for me. He was such a stud, and he hadn't missed a kick since his sophomore year. And, you know, we just came up just that 1 point short, put together a heck of a comeback in that game. And to be that close is really gut-wrenching. And this crew this year, you know, we graduated a lot of seniors, and this crew this year is really like we were that close, and we could be that good. And they've been waiting for their opportunity for a while. And so, you know, yeah, we've graduated a lot. We were close in those playoffs. That's last year. But I really do believe that they put in the work that is necessary to at least put our name in the hat. And a lot of people don't know that, and our team kind of likes that.
Lewis Palmer, head coach Dustin Tupper, joining us here on Drive Time Sports, 25 teams in 25 days. So the Broncos are looking for a quarterback. You're looking for a quarterback. Please tell me you have a better option than the Broncos do for their signal caller position.
Oh, are the Broncos looking? Because Slaughter looked like a stud last night. That's all I'm going to say.
Hey, we've been talking about it all show long. But, yeah, apparently he's not going to be part of it.
I jumped up when that kid hit that walk-off touchdown, almost a walk-off touchdown. Man, that was incredible. My quarterback situation, I have a senior that's up, Cole Recker. It had a tremendous summer. And then the other one, that was junior, that's been pushing him, also had a tremendous summer. And so when it comes down to it, you know, when you're that tight and you're that nip-tuck, we grade on a lot of things within the practice. And so, you know, they're both extremely good kids. They're both deserving of the spot. It's just going to come down. You know, we had an early evaluation at CSU camp in which one kind of rose to the top, and then we come back and, goodness, the other one takes off during 7-on-7s, and really they've really taken to it that they're going to compete and make each other better. And we'll know, and I think it's going to be nip tuck, we'll know right when we're done with that jamboree come on the 25th.
If all else fails, you can always hand the ball off, right? That works pretty well for you. Should work pretty well again this year.
Yes, sir. We have a good tailback returning. Diadani is a extremely good running back coming back. He was a first team All State, I think, pick somewhere in there on one of those papers. And he's a good running back and has been a good leader for us. And defensively, we have a really good, like an extremely good nose guard. He's incredible. So, but yeah, running the ball is where it all starts. And even our quarterbacks buy into that. But, yeah, we're going to run the ball first, and we'll take our shots. You know, one high safety, we'll get our shots. It's just we're going to run that ball first.
A couple more things for Lewis Palmer, head coach Dustin Tupper, joining us here on 25 teams in 25 days. So we can all mark down October 13th. That's going to be the day that determines the league again, right?
Yeah, you know what? I'm 0-4 versus those guys, man. So – yeah, that's always the one. Like you have it earmarked on your calendar, and we talk about all that coach speak, you know, 1 week and one more important. But we have our eyes on the prize. That's always the thing. And you take care of your business up till then, you win your league and you get into those playoffs. And yeah, we're really looking forward to it. And I think they run such a class program. You know, they're what our mark is, you know, so they're a good goal to have because Sean is class and the rest of their program is class. So, you know, hopefully we'll take it over this year.
Yeah, and I know you guys aren't overlooking anyone. Falcon was sneaky good last year. They should be good again, and I know you have a couple of up-and-coming teams in your league as well, so I know not for a second are you looking ahead to October 13th, but we'll mark it on our calendar nonetheless. First up, you got that annual track meet with Meade, right?
Yes, sir. Boy, did that come down to last year was back and forth, and we were able to force a couple of special teams mistakes on their part and turnovers that really was the difference in the game. And they brought it back at their place within 8, and then our fullback broke for 80. And that one was kind of the definitive score, and that was very late in the game. And goodness sakes, they're good. And so I had a chance to coach with Coach Klatt at the All-State games over the summer. He was on the North team, and I was on the South team. We got to talking about it, and what a fun football game. Their environment is exactly like we try to bring old school, man. You play in that old school music. You got your thing blaring. Your kids are physical. They're orange and white. We're orange and black. It's a lot of fun.
And I'm not going to tell people which game to go to. You go to any game you want, but Meade and Lewis Palmer is going to be a lot of fun. So if you're looking, if you're unaffiliated, looking for a game, that might be the one to go check out. And Coach, just between you and me, because I know nobody's listening, we may be seeing you about the time that you're playing that that other Lewis Palmer School District team. So until then, really appreciate you joining us, and best of luck this season.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much for calling, and look forward to seeing you guys.
That's about going to do it for the show for the weekend. First of all, I want to thank the Country Club of Colorado. Last time, I am reminding you, log on to extrasports1300.com. Click the Going for the Green graphic on the front of the page. Get registered. It's a great event for a couple of great causes. Chris and I will be out there. Hopefully, we will see you out here as well at the Country Club of Colorado. And thank you to everyone here at the club for being so hospitable. I even got shrimp bisque while I was out here, and that was absolutely delicious. As for our guests, man, we had a lot of them. Pat Neshek, Grant Meech, Dustin Tupper, Anthony Murray. Thank you to all of them for joining me on the show. Thanks to Wheels, as always, for steering the ship back at the Extra Sports 1300 studios. As of now, we got Sky Sox baseball on tap. Pre-game starts at 6:30. Make sure you tune in for that. I will catch you tomorrow on the other football show, and then on Monday, same bat time, same bat channel, 3 to 6, right here on Extra Sports 1300.